What's up, Doc? Can we rock? Hello again, friends. Welcome to the Locked On Clippers podcast. I'm your host, DJ Foster. On today's show, put some granny style pressure on DeAndre Jordan to finally change his ways. We talk LeBron to LA, the good LA, the Clippers LA. And we'll evaluate Doc Rivers with special guest Michael Chagrin. And finally, Michael's going to explain why most spates is the prism through which we should all evaluate our lives. Welcome to the Locked On Clippers podcast. I'm your host, DJ Foster. I have a special guest with me, Michael Chagrin, former Clipper blog alumni, coming back. How you doing, Mike?
Doing good, doing good. Happy to be joining the cast of Clipper bloggers, making Locked On a staple of your podcasting delight.
It's a reunion tour, is what it is. And so I wanted to ask you, bringing you on, I know you have some good DeAndre Jordan free throw takes, and I'm going to read you a question from someone who blogged back in your blog era, Breen Murphy.
Ooh.
Yeah. Breen Murphy asks, okay, so the first part you got to kind of understand Breen. He says, why won't DeAndre Jordan take my three-point contest challenge? You can kind of ignore that part. Sorry, Breen. And if he loses, why won't he shoot granny style just for a year and try it out? So, Michael, why won't DeAndre Jordan try granny style?
Oh, at a certain point, I think he's just so in his head about it, and the suggestion has been made so many times that if he were to capitulate now, he'd feel like he'd be losing faith not only on the decision to go granny style, but also he's been doing this way for 1 year. He's been saying he's going to get it back. He still makes the claim that he makes 70% of his free throws during practice, and then when he gets to the line, something mental gets in his way, and he ends up shooting 45%. So,
right.
I don't really know why he won't say maybe there's something physical I could do to overcome this mental block, but I don't know. Blocked on it.
It's been a long time. It's been, what, 7 years he's been in the league now? More?
It's going to be his eighth year?
Okay, so if it's not happening in his eighth year, it's not a matter of repetition at this point, right?
It can't be.
So why not try something just completely out of nowhere and see if it works? Now, and it's not even completely out of nowhere. I was listening to This American Life, a podcast, and they did a whole thing. Malcolm Gladwell did a whole thing with Rick Barry on guys that have been terrible free throw shooters that started shooting underhand and it brought their percentage up. And we actually saw a guy in college basketball last year. I don't know how to pronounce his name. He played for Louisville. But he shot...
I think he just signed a three-year contract with the Rockets.
He did. Yeah, he just signed a three-year contract. He was like a 47% free throw shooter his freshman year in college. And he raised it to about 12, 13%. Not great. But that's a huge improvement in his second year shooting granny style. And so he's going to be an NBA player that's already out there again in this era shooting granny style free throws. So, DeAndre, it's time, man, right?
That's the logical takeaway. But I feel like the fact that he would be stealing a strategy from a second round pick who's 9 years younger than him might make him even less inclined to try something new. And just, if he was determined to make the logical choice, he would have done it already.
I have faith that something's going to click with him, and he'll just be like, you know what? I'm going to try it now. Because I thought Rick Barry had a really good point about this. The shooting motion over the top of your head is something you don't ever do in regular everyday life. Walking around with your hands down by your side is so natural. And if you, I urge anyone who's listening to this, if you go to the gym or go out to the park or go out in front of your house, just shoot a couple of granny style free throws. those things are so soft and buttery on the rim. They just, like, they just, everything just kind of rolls in, and it takes off all the harshness, and it's, it makes so much sense for him to try it. I'm dying to know if he's ever at least toyed with the idea for a week and just shot him and see what he shot. I'm dying to know.
I bet he has, but he's doing that in conjunction with his practice shots, which he apparently hit at 70%. I don't know if I believe that.
Yeah.
But at what point do we no longer allow him to use his practice percentage as a justification for his, quite frankly, disaster of a free throw percentage in the regulation? It's beyond me.
Right, I'm out on that too. I don't care how many you're making in practice. We have 7 years of evidence that you're not above 50% free throw shooter, and it's not going to happen.
It's sad, but I mean, there's clearly something mental. It's not that he can't make shots above using the standard over the head.
I think it's both. It's got to be both if you're that bad.
Yeah, but the mental problem he's not overcoming. So get it straight. Come up with a physical response to your mental issues, and just for the love of God, try something new.
All right, I agree. I'm glad we're on the same page on this. I wanted to ask you, so we touched on this a while back, and some people called me out for being a crazy person, but I think you might be a crazy person too.
I think so too.
Does this LeBron James to the Clippers thing have any steam eventually?
I mean, he bought that house in L.A. He's apparently been spending a lot of time there, and once you have a house in Brentwood where it's 60 degrees on the coldest day of the year and 75 degrees on the hottest day of the year, and you're right next to your buddy Blake Griffin in the Pacific Palisades, the fog rolls into the morning, it burns off by noon, and then you're out having a barbecue by 6 p.m. It's hard to leave that lifestyle. I mean, kind of take the Blake Griffin thing. People talking about him going back to Oklahoma City voluntarily. Blake Griffin's not leaving Los Angeles to go back to Oklahoma. It's not going to happen. LeBron, I mean, maybe we're reading too much into it, but the Lee Jenkins authored letter, "I'm coming home," just one championship. I mean, he's yanking around Dan Gilbert right now.
Yeah, why is that? Why do you think he hasn't signed yet?
I don't really think he likes Dan Gilbert, but I don't think that's a revolutionary idea. I mean, that letter is mythological lore, basically, at this point. He clearly doesn't have that much respect for letting him know exactly what his intentions are going forward. He hints at coming back this season. Then he finally makes a proclamation that he's coming back to Cleveland this season, but he doesn't give any indication about when he's going to consummate that. It seems like there is a not necessarily a long-term lifespan on LeBron in Cleveland, and he's already played with D-Wade. It's not like LeBron's going to go play in Chicago. And it's not like he can just go and sign up to play with the Knicks. Carmelo's got his own thing going on over there. He's the last member of the Banana Boat.
Chris Paul on the banana boat.
There was a rumor earlier on in the summer about LeBron's kids registering for a west side of Los Angeles private school. Maybe that came out of nowhere. Maybe it was more like him putting out feelers about at what point is the latest in the summer that he could enroll his children. I don't know. We know he's a family man. West side of Los Angeles is a great place to raise your kids. And There is no uncertainty about his desire to play with Chris Paul.
Right. Okay, so here's the thing. Remember, and I was one of these people that was telling these guys from Cleveland that they were crazy because LeBron had, you know, they were staking out his old house, and they, you know, they were looking up real estate stuff, and I was like, oh, you guys are crazy. You're reading too much into it. And then he went back to Cleveland. So these little things, as little as they may be, and they could be completely coincidental, I think they're still worth noting, right?
Oh, yeah. I don't think a gambler. I believe Kharalamov is going to go out and bet on LeBron James coming to the Clippers next year.
Yeah.
But it's not outlandish. Apparently the Clippers are going to free agent meetings. Remember, they blew away Kevin Durant.
What do you mean? That's right.
They quote-unquote blew away
right.
Kevin Durant.
I want to follow up on that. If Durant always knew that he was going to go to Golden State, why give the Clippers a meeting and not the Lakers? What was the point of that?
I don't think Kevin Durant, smart guy, in touch with himself, but he wasn't sure. Doesn't sound like he was really sure that that was what he wanted, except for that was basically in his gut what his gut was telling him to do.
I think he knew all along. I think he knew months ago.
The Clippers. Not to bring it back, but whoever leaked to Chris Broussard that the Clippers blew away Kevin Durant. That I feel like that's a kind of a sad state of affairs. I don't really know what went on there.
Yeah. Pretty interesting. Let's move on. Let's talk about Doc, because we've always had some of the more hilarious Doc takes. You've spit some hot fire on Clipper Block before. Someone asked you how are we feeling about the Doc era right now?
I'm still a little bit perturbed by the dual head coach head of basketball operation structure. I mean, there's really only so much time in a day, and you should be spending 125% of your time as a head coach doing head coaching, and 125% of your time as a GM doing GM stuff. And he can't even put 100% into either of them. So that, for me, is the problem starts there.
He can delegate some of his tasks to Austin. Maybe Austin, player GM.
Oh. Wow. I think we may have landed on something. I mean, they're paying him $12 million a year. I think there probably would be some basketball operations roles in there, because I don't think they're compensating him $12 million for basketball.
Get the most bang for your buck. We'll just turn the Rivers family into the Heyman family from In Living Color. Everyone has 9 jobs. Sorry, continue.
I think Austin can handle it, but the problem comes back to, even if it's Austin, maybe this problem's mitigated a little bit. When you're negotiating with a Clippers front office executive, say you're maybe a Boston GM, goes by the name Danny Ainge, you're talking to a Clippers front office guy, you're making suggestions, offers, counteroffers, you come to an agreement, and it's all said and done. When they hang up the phone, is Danny Ainge thinking, we have a deal, or is Danny Ainge thinking, okay, the guy who I just talked to now has to go run that by Doc, and he can nix it in a second if he has no interest in the negotiation that just transpired.
Right, so, I think Danny Ainge is saying, Lawrence, is Doc in? Can you transfer me to Doc, please, Lawrence?
Lawrence is saying, no, Doc's sitting right next to me. He's nodding along. And Danny's saying, yeah, sure.
Right. Well, I've already discussed this. If Danny Ainge calls, hang up the phone. Burn the phone. Change your number. Maybe just move the whole building entirely. Just stay away from Danny Ainge.
Yeah, the dude scares me.
He's really.
I mean, he almost packaged Kevin Garnett to the Clippers. What was that? When he sent us Doc. I mean, that's the first. If you really want to get into it, that's the first time that he robbed us. We sent two first round picks or 2 second round picks for the rights to Doc Rivers
in the Doc trade. No, it was a first rounder, wasn't it?
It was first rounder. That's what it was.
I think it was a first rounder because, as you know, first rounders cease to matter. And speaking of that, do you think Bryce Johnson's going to play at all?
I would like to think that he's going to play. I know he needs to gain some weight, but put him out there and give him some time with NBA speed and NBA strength, and perhaps that'll hone him for the future, but it might also inspire him to spend more time in the weight room. Not that there should be any reason why he doesn't. Without experience.
They need a controllable asset that's cheap. They need to develop one of these guys sooner or later.
I mean, they haven't done it since DeAndre, and that was kind of a a fluke. They didn't spend much time really developing him. He just grew into his body and remained 3 feet around the rim at all times. I mean, that didn't require that much development. But yeah, it'll be interesting. But it's not like he's been assigned this backup big role. He has to now compete for minutes with Brandon Bass in those states.
Yep.
And I mean, that is one thing you can't say about Doc. He attracts a certain quality veteran minimum free agent, which a lot of other coaches can't because clearly it's a good rapport with the players. But Maurice Bates it's the Maurice Bates Bryce Johnson choice. Really, it kind of gets at the root of the Clippers. Like, Bryce Johnson can be someone who grows into a player who can be a long-term Clipper who could potentially have a really nice impact over a lot of years.
Yeah.
Most Bates, on the other hand, is a volatile quantity who doesn't have the best reputation but found a really good spot for him in Golden State, where this culture of joy and sharing the ball seemed to infect him, and he, within the system and within the culture that was created, was able to get the shots that he always wanted to take, those mid-range shots, and they were open. And I don't think he ever got yelled at. I think the only person really got yelled at there for taking dumb shots was Draymond.
Right. Right.
And before that, he was on the Grizzlies, and his energy, with there's negative energy, those were channeled in a positive way through the grit and grind system. So it'll be interesting to the prism of the Clippers culture being reflected through most states.
Wouldn't have it any other way.
I don't know. I mean, you get a lot of complaining on the Clippers. You get a lot of Chris Paul take the ball and figure out who to pass it to, and hopefully things turn out all right. And I just don't know how constructive that will be for most states, who has not necessarily a concrete personality.
Are you saying the identity can't be we complain a lot?
I think the identity is we can't complain a lot. I don't think whether I say that if they can or can't have that, that is going to change. But I think they're going to complain a lot, and I think that's going to rub off poorly on Maurice Bates.
This kind of feels a little Lance Stevenson-ish in some ways. Well, I think Spates is a better probably a better teammate than Lance, I would say. But they have some similarities in that they always want the ball in their hands, and they always want to be the one that finishes the play, right? If there's anything that I've learned from sports movies, it's that you always have to have one crazy person on your team. Right?
Yeah.
Every single sports movie, there's one guy that's crazy. Even Hoosiers. Who do you think the crazy person in Hoosiers was? It was the guy who always prayed for like an hour and a half before every game. Right? Wild card.
It's really a... I can't believe you asked that. That's like... I've never seen
Hoosiers. Mighty Ducks? You've never seen Hoosiers?
I know. It's an embarrassment.
I don't even know where to begin with that.
Basketball is... Football is life. People start that. I don't want to give anyone any misconceptions. But football is life. But for me, the sports movie genre that tickled me in the right place was baseball movies. I can't really watch baseball games, 9 innings, unless it's the fall. But talk about the Sandlot, Little Big League.
Oh, Sandlot's fantastic.
And there's always crazy guys on all those teams.
A League of Their Own might be the best sports movie ever made.
You can make that argument. I wouldn't.
You're not against that.
I wouldn't call you crazy. I don't agree, but I certainly think there's rational basis for that perspective.
A fantastic movie. I mean, you got
You
got comedy. The baseball is really good in it. Totally believable. I don't know. That movie has it all.
Yeah, I mean, it's no Rookie of the Year, but okay.
Have you gone back and watched Rookie of the Year? Is the question I have for you. A League of Their Own stands up, man. I don't know if Rookie of the Year is still holding up too well.
Gary Busey really steals the show. I can't understress.
Nothing stands the test of time like Gary Busey.
Yeah, he actually just got a Vine account, and I would recommend all of our loyal listeners to check that out.
Is that real?
It's real. He started, I think, 3 days ago. I haven't looked in the last 36 hours. I'm going to right when I'm recording this. But he recorded maybe like 40 videos in the span of the first day and a half. And
Gary Busey, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's the... How you say Vine right there.
All
right,
so where do we... So the listeners that are like, dude, I haven't seen this guy in... like 5 years. Where do we follow you on social media? Where do we find you?
Oh, you find me. First of all, I can find you if you really want. But if you want to find me, you type in my incredibly creative Twitter handle at Michael Shagman. And my tweets are few and far between at this point, but they're all basketball and they're all fun.
Yeah, we're gonna get you going again.
Okay, I'll take it.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks. Thanks for coming on, man. Really appreciate it. You guys follow him. Tell him if you enjoyed listening to the show with him. Make sure you reach out. Thanks for coming on, man. We'll do this again soon.
My pleasure.